Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, chapter entitled The Prayers of Queen Kunti, text number 32. Kechid ahura janjatam punya shlokasya kirtaye yado priyasyan vavaye malayasyeva chandanam Kechid ahura janjatam punya shlokasya kirtaye yado priyasyan vavaye malayasyeva chandanam Kechid ahura janjatam punya shlokasya kirtaye yado priyasyan vavaye malayasyeva chandanam kechid
someone
Ahu says, Ajam, the unborn, Jatam, being born, Punya Shlokasya, of the great pious king, Kirtiye, for glorifying, Yado, of King Yadu. Priyasya of the deer. Anvavaye in the family of. Malayasya Malaya hills. Iva as. Chandanam sandalwood. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu. One of your dearest devotees, you appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Translation response. Some say that the unborn is born.
Some say that the unborn is born.
For the glorification of pious kings. And others say that he is born to please King Yadu. One of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Purport. Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he takes his birth in the material world, although he is the Lord of all creations and he is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn because he himself establishes the truth. But still, there are different opinions as to why he takes birth. That is also declared in the Bhagavad Gita. He appears by his own internal potency to re-establish the principles of religion and to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. That is the mission of the appearance of the unborn. Still, it is said that the Lord is there to glorify the pious king, Yudhishthira. Lord Sri Krishna certainly wanted to establish the kingdom of the Pandavas for the good of all in the world. When there is a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. When the ruler is impious, the people are unhappy. In the age of Kali, In most cases, the rulers are impious, and therefore the citizens are also continuously unhappy. But in the case of democracy, the impious citizens themselves elect their representative to rule over them, and therefore they cannot blame anyone for their unhappiness. Maharaj Nala was also celebrated as a great pious king, but he had no connection with Lord Krishna. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira is meant here to be glorified by Lord Krishna. The Lord had already glorified King Yadu, having taken birth in his family. Although he is known as Yadava, Yaduvira, and Yadunandana, etc., he is always independent of such obligation. He is just like the sandalwood that grows in the Malaya hills. Trees can grow anywhere and everywhere, yet, because the sandalwood trees grow mostly in the area of the Malaya hills, the name sandalwood and the Malaya hills are interrelated. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is ever unborn like the sun, and yet he appears as the sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but he is the father of everything that be. Omigyan, Timurandasya, Ganunjana, Shalakaya, Chakshur, Molitam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri, Gurave, Namaha, Shri, Chaitanya, Manobishtam, Stapitam, Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamayam, Dadati, Swabhadantikam, Vansha, Kaupata, Rubyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Evacha, Petitanam, Pavane, Bio, Vaishnave, Bio, Namo, Namaha, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma, Karma, Chame, Divya. Divya means transcendental. So Krishna's Janma, his appearance, is transcendental. Sometimes, as Prabhupada writes here, the English which is used is born. Krishna is born in this material world, but factually speaking, Krishna does not take birth. So, more correct would be to say he appears within this material world, as opposed to born within this material world. Prabhupada uses this English. There's no fault in using this English. Prabhupada's just explaining his appearance. But, factually speaking, he is not born. And the Acharyas comment that the difference between the material world and the spiritual world, in terms of Krishna's pastimes, there are three major differences. In the material world, Krishna appears. There is an appearance pastime. Janma Lila. Sri Krishna, Janmashtami. Right? We have an appearance pastime of Krishna in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no Janma Lila. There's no pastime where Krishna appears. That is only in the material world. So in the material world, we have Janmashtami. In the spiritual world, Krishna does not appear factually. Even though there may be some celebration like that, but he does not actually appear. He's always there. So that is one difference between the two. Another difference the Acharyas point out is there are no asuras. There are no demons in the spiritual world. There is only a rumor that demons are nearby. So this facilitates Krishna's pastimes. Someone says, Aristasura is coming. So all the gopis, they run because they're so fearful they begin to cry. So then their vision becomes blurred by their tears, and then they run to the tamal trees, which are the same color as Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is known sometimes as Tamal Krishna. So they run to the tamal trees, they embrace the tamal trees, and they say, Krishna, Krishna, please protect us. So they have this feeling that the demons are there, because then it creates more of an attachment to Krishna within the pastimes. But actually there's no demons. In the material world, Krishna kills demons. We see all the way through the beginning of the 10th canto, practically every chapter, Krishna is killing demons. All the way through the very early pastimes in the Krishna book. Actually, Prabhupada makes the comment that Krishna would usually kill two or three demons every day before lunch. Before lunch, he'd just go and kill two or three demons. And then he would continue on his pastimes. So in the spiritual world, the demons do not manifest. In the material world, they manifest because it gives a semblance of reality. Otherwise, people in the material world cannot understand what's going on. If he did not appear, you know, they couldn't understand. He just suddenly, even though he does that, actually, he disappears. He doesn't actually get born. But if there wasn't some, like, birth, apparent birth, then everyone would become confused about him. If the demons weren't actually there, people would become confused about the pastimes. The third difference is that the acharyas point out the gopis do not have any husbands in the spiritual world. Whereas in the material world, the gopis, the husbands manifest in order to give some like semblance of reality to the pastime. But in the spiritual world, they're not actually there. Radharani, she feels that I am married to Abhimanyu, but he's not actually there in the spiritual world. It's just a Abhiman. Abhiman means mental conception. There's an Abhiman that he's there, but he's not actually there. But in the material world, he manifests, and all the different husbands of the gopis manifest. So there is some reality in the pastime, in the sense that then the gopis feel, oh, yeah, my husband is there. It's very difficult for me to leave the house to come and meet Krishna. In the spiritual world, that feeling is there, oh, it's very difficult for me to go and meet Krishna, but there's no actual husband. They never actually manifest. But in the material world, they manifest in order to give some semblance of reality in the pastime. And it also makes the pastimes very sweet because Radharani's so-called husband, his name is Abhimanyu. So he enhances the pastimes unlimitedly. Just like there was one pastime where you read in the Nectar of Devotion in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Krishna, he dresses up as Abhimanyu and he comes home and he sees his mother Jatila and his sister Kutila and he says, Mother, I've just come home. I've been out all day. I've heard that very soon Krishna is going to come here dressed as me. So I've heard this today. He's going to sneak into the house, try to meet Srimati Radharani. So when he comes, at all costs, do not let him enter the house. So then she says, very good, my son. Please immediately go and meet your wife. So then Krishna walks in, and he walks into the inner chambers of the palace, and he meets Srimati Radharani. He's dressed as Abhimanyu. Actually, it says in the Nectar of Devotion, Abhimanyu is the shadow of Krishna. And he's Krishna's shadow. So very similar. He looks very similar to Krishna. So Krishna enters in, and Srimati Radharani, as soon as Abhimanyu walks in, she knows this is not Abhimanyu. So then Krishna explains to her that what has happened, that he has told Jatila that Abhimanyu is soon coming. Krishna is soon coming. So she will stop, so you don't have to worry, we can just stay here together. Mm-hmm. So she is very satisfied, so they stay within the palace together. In the meantime, outside, Abhimanyu comes home, and then Krishna is on Jatila and Kutila, they're on the roof of the palace, and they see Abhimanyu coming, so they get cow dung, and they begin to throw the cow dung. Like that, get out of here, you black snake. We know who you are. Now we know the purpose of your coming here. You will not come here. You will not contaminate this place. Get out of here. So they drive him away, and Abhimanyu is completely bewildered. He's just coming home like he does every evening, and now his mother and his sister are throwing cow dung at him, and he has to leave. He has to go away like that. In the meantime, Krishna is inside enjoying his pastimes with Radharani. So in order to make the pastimes more sweet, then Krishna will let Abhimanyu manifest within the material world in order to give some semblance to the pastime. These pastimes also happen in the spiritual world. But when he's there, then it's less confusing for all of us who are reading the pastime. Oh, there's actually someone there. Abhimanyu is actually someone there. Another pastime is that Krishna comes to Mother Yashoda in Nandagram, and every day Srimati Radharani, she gets a benediction from Durvasa Muni that whatever she will cook, it is as sweet as nectar, it is amrita. So whoever eats her cooking will live a very long life. So then Mother Yashoda, she insists that every day Radharani come from Javat or Vashana, wherever she's staying. She stays 6 months a year in Javat and 6 months a year in Vashana. So she insists that every morning she comes to cook for Krishna in Nandagram. So every day Radharani comes, she cooks for Krishna. So Mother Yashoda is as attached to Radharani as she is to Krishna. Even one time she becomes so overwhelmed because she is thinking every day, wouldn't it be wonderful if this girl would marry my Krishna, my Nanda Nandana, my Yashoda Nandana. Wouldn't it be wonderful if she would marry? So one day she becomes overwhelmed in that bhav, in that feeling, and she takes turmeric and she begins to smear it all over Radharani's hands. And you put turmeric on your hand when you're about to get married. So then suddenly Radharani has turmeric in her hand, and she understands Mother Yashoda's intent. She becomes very worried. So she runs down to one kund, which is just behind Vashana, and she begins to wash her hands, get all the turmeric off before she comes back to her house. Because she comes back to her house with turmeric on her hands, so mother and father, Kirtidhar and Vrishabhanu, will say, what's going on? You have turmeric on your hands? Like that. So she washes it off, but then all the devotees in Vashana, they see Radharani is washing turmeric off her hands. So they all run up to Kirtidhar and Vrishabhanu, and they say that Radharani is going to get married to Krishna. Mother Yashoda has put turmeric on her hands. They want to marry. So they become very happy. So then they send jewels across to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And then Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj become very happy. Or they've accepted our proposal. So then a whole marriage begins to become arranged. Radharani is going to marry Krishna, and everyone in Braj becomes very happy. Oh, Radharani and Krishna are going to get married. So then Purnamasi comes. Now Yogamaya, very old gopi in Vrindavan, she wears pure white. She wears white, she has white hair. She's a disciple of Narada. So she comes and she says, no, this is not auspicious. She said, look at the astronomy, look at the constellations, look at all the stars. Very inauspicious. No marriages this year, no marriages. So everyone says, oh, okay. So then they cancel the marriage. So then it is saved. Radha and Krishna never actually get married. Although sometimes there are marriages, just like sometimes they're in the forest together, and then Lord Brahma suddenly comes down on a swan, and he flies down, and then he arrives, right, and he gets off the swan, and then he comes to Radha and Krishna, and Lalita brings their hands together, and she ties the garland around their hands. And then Lord Brahma, he becomes the priest, and then he says some mantras, and then he says, Radha, do you accept Krishna? And Radharani, because they're just like kids, like teenagers. So she's laughing, she says, yes, I accept him. And then Krishna, do you accept Radharani? And he says, yes, I accept her. And then all the gopis are throwing flowers on them, and so there's like a marriage. And then Brahma gets back on the swan and he flies away. So there is, the acharyas explain, actually they are married, but for the purpose of pastime, then they appear that they're not married. They're actually married, but they're not like that. So another time, in order to increase the pleasure of the pastimes, an Abhimanyu, he comes to Nandagram, and Mother Yashoda, she thinks, I want to send some gifts to Radharani, because she's coming every day to cook for Krishna. So I want to send some gifts to Radharani. So she makes a big trunk full of jewels. Right, so she fills the trunk up with jewels, and then at that time Krishna walks in, and he says, "What are you doing, Mayi? What are you doing?" And then Mother Yashoda, she says that I'm sending these jewels across to Srimati Radharani, and he says, "Oh, really? Okay, that's fair enough." So then she shuts the lid of the trunk, and then she walks out, and then Krishna and his friends, they quickly run in, they take all the jewels out. Krishna jumps in, and then they close the trunk. So then Mother Yashoda, she calls for Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu comes and says, I've given this trunk of jewels, most valuable, precious jewels, for Radharani. Please take them to Javat and give them to Radharani. So then he puts them on his back And he carries the trunk all the way across. And he's thinking, this trunk is very heavy. It's extremely heavy. So he carries it all the way across. And then finally he gets there. And Japtila says, what have you got? And Abhimanyu says, I brought these jewels from Mother Yashoda for Srimati Radharani as a gift. So then she says, immediately take them into Radharani. So then Abhimanyu knocks on the door. He has his big trunk. And Radharani opens the door and she says, oh, it's him. So she just looks and says, what do you want? She never has anything to do with him. She says, what do you want? And he says, I have these jewels. I've carried them all the way from Nandagram here for you. Mother Yashoda has given me this gift. She says, just put them in here. So they bring the trunk in. They put the trunk on the ground. He says, thank you very much. He goes out. She shuts the door. And then Lalita, she goes over and she touches the trunk. As soon as she touches the trunk, she thinks there's something very special in here. And they can feel it. There's something very special in here. So they open up, and then you know who steps out. He steps out. And then they all begin to criticize him. What are you doing? You've walked in here, into the ladies' chambers. How can you do this? What sort of a person are you? So then the whole debate goes on between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, like that. So in this way, Abhimanyu, he assists the pastimes. So this is the difference between the pastime in the spiritual world. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur explains, in the spiritual world, there's no Janma Lila. No? There was no birth pastime. In the spiritual world, there are no demons manifest. And in the spiritual world, the gopis do not have husbands. So there is a difference between the pastimes. So Krishna is unborn. He is not born. He appears by his divine will. Now, why does he appear? As Prabhupada points out in the purport, there are different reasons why he appears. What does he say himself in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? Which verse is it? Yeah, what's the first line? Paritranaya. Paritranaya Sadhuma. Vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samstapaya. So he says that I come for three principal reasons. Why do I come? Please the devotees, to annihilate the demons, and to reestablish dharma or religion. Now Prabhupada points out in the purport that the second two reasons, it is not necessary that Krishna comes himself to do that. Krishna does not have to come to destroy demons. He can let Arjuna and Bhima take care of that. And you see in Krishna's pastimes, many of the demons were taken care of by Bhima and Arjuna. Who killed Jarasandha? Bhimasena. Right? Who killed Duryodhana? Bhimasena. Who killed Karna? Arjuna. Right? So Arjuna and Bhima could have done most of it. Right? Krishna, he killed many demons, but he didn't have to come personally to do that. Right? He can empower his devotees to take care of the demons. Right? And then re-establishing religious principles. Krishna himself doesn't have to do that. He can send his incarnations. There are many Yuga avatars. There are many Leela avatars. There are many different incarnations. Six types of incarnations who come. So Krishna himself does not have to come to establish the religious principles. Any of the incarnations can do it. What are the six types of incarnations? Yuga avatar, Lila avatar, Guna avatar, Purusha avatar, Shaktivesha avatar, and Manvantara avatar. So many different types of incarnations are there. So Krishna does not have to come himself to establish the religious principles. So the main reason he comes is to give pleasure to the devotees. How does he give pleasure to us? How has Krishna pleased us? Are you happy that Krishna came? Why are we happy that Krishna came? How has it given us pleasure? What's that? How does that give you pleasure? So how does that give you pleasure? How do you get pleasure from Krishna appearing? Because when we hear about the pastimes are divya. Jamma, karma, chane, divyam. right? All of his karma, all of his activities are divya, they're transcendental. So when we hear about those transcendental pastimes, especially the pastime of not falling asleep at the back of the Bhagavatam class, Krishna never does that particular pastime. He never falls asleep at the back of the Bhagavatam class. But the pastime that he does perform is divya lila, which means transcendentally pleasurable pastimes. So when you hear those pastimes, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. When you hear about Krishna's pastimes, what takes place? Tushta. Tushta means satisfaction. Just like when you take good prasad, how do you feel? You don't eat very much? I'm the only one here who's still part of this movement. Right? When you take prasad, you have to take good prasad. Especially when it's a feast day. Prabhupada said you have to eat up to the neck on the feast day. You eat up to the neck. Or, alternatively, you can have some charanamrita and go back home and have your boiled carrots. Yeah? It's up to you how you want to take prasad. But Prabhupada said that we should take up to the neck on the appearance days. Because this purifies the consciousness. You take the remnants of Lord Nityananda. You take the remnants of Lord Chaitanya. On Saturday, we'll take the remnants of Narasimha, the Lord himself. We'll take that prasad. Right? So then when you take that prasad, you will become purified in your consciousness. Because Lord Nisringadeva's saliva is all over that prasad. So it is transcendental. So you should eat up to the neck, if you can. Of course, the material body slows down after time. So then you have to go home and have your carrot juice and your celery and all those things. But at least in the beginning, Prabhupada says in the first 6 months, you should eat so much that you waddle like a duck. Right? In the beginning. Right? That, and on feast days, Prabhupada says you should take prasad to your full satisfaction. So anyway, the point is, I know all of you are on health diets. But generally speaking, how do you feel after you take a good meal of prasadam? You feel tushta. Tushta. Actually, one of Krishna's names is Tushti Krishna. Tushti means satisfied. Krishna is always satisfied. Why? Because he always eats to his full satisfaction. He's fully satisfied. Just like we've told previously in previous classes, what does Krishna eat when he gets up in the morning? Yeah, sweets, but particularly it's described in Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Ashtakali Lila. Krishna wakes up in the morning. He sits up in bed practically. Mother Yashoda comes in. Balaram's sitting on one side. Madhu Mangala is sitting on the other side. And what's the first thing that Mother Yashoda offers to them? He just woke up. He's only been up for 1 minute. And then what does she offer them? Sweet paneer. Sweet curd. Curd, it's like scrambled curd, mixed with jaggery, gura, like that. Little bit of black pepper, a little bit of camphor, like that. Very sweet, very nectarian. So that's the first thing he eats in the morning. Gets up in the morning and he just eats sweet. So that's why he's called Tushti Krishna. He's very satisfied. As soon as he gets up in the morning, he begins to eat. And Madhu Mangala says, "Do you have any more?" Mother Yashoda gives him some more, and he says, "Do you have any more?" And she says, okay, just one of that. So everyone is satisfied, because they take prasad to their full satisfaction. In the spiritual world, you don't have to worry about going to see Dr. Dan. Like that. There's no special grove or kunj out the back of an underground where Dr. Dan's set up. You don't have to worry. It's all... You can eat to your full satisfaction, and your body is such chit ananda. Vigraha. Brahma Samhita says there are no veins in the spiritual body. Your body does not have veins. So there's nothing internal which will give you dissatisfaction or grief. Everything will just be nectarian. So Krishna is known as Tushti Krishna. So when we hear about Krishna, it is Tushta and it is Rama. Rama means gives pleasure. So when you hear about Krishna, because his pastimes are transcendental, it makes you satisfied and it gives you pleasure. We all experience this. When we chant the holy name of Krishna, well, we feel satisfied and we feel pleasure. That's why we chant every day. How many times do we chant the name Rama every day? If we chant 16 rounds a day, that means we're chanting 25,000 names every day. So what's a quarter of 25? That'd be like 6,000 names. So 6,000 times a day you're chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. So why don't you meditate on what this name actually means? Ram, Ram, Ram. Why don't you actually chant Ram, Ram, Hari, Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Ram, Ram. Ram means pleasure, bliss, unlimited pleasure. So when you hear Krishna's pastimes or when you chant his holy name, you will feel unlimited pleasure, unlimited bliss, and you will be satisfied. So that is the nature of his pastimes. So therefore it is described that the reason he comes is to perform his pastimes. So then we have something to meditate upon. Just like I was explaining to the devotees last night, you know those calendars? Every day you turn over the calendar and then there's a saying from Prabhupada. Just like in the reception, they have you flick it over. So there's different calendars with different sayings. So the one I've got at the farm, every day I flick it over and then Prabhupada says something. I wake up in the morning, I flick it over and then Prabhupada says something to me in order to, you know, get me thinking for the day. So about a week ago, I flicked it over and Prabhupada said that when you chant the holy name, if you are chanting attentively, automatically Krishna's pastimes will come into your mind. Over time, right? If you are cultivating your chanting properly, right? If you're chanting attentively and properly year after year after year, and if you're cultivating a relationship with the holy name, then when you chant the name of Krishna, Krishna's pastime should automatically come into your mind. Right? This is what you should be aspiring for. This is what you should be aiming for. This is Nama Shraya. This is taking shelter of the holy name. If you're purifying your heart, the pastimes will automatically come. So why does Krishna perform his pastimes? Right? So that we have something to meditate upon. Otherwise, if he did not come into this material world and reveal his pastimes, we would have nothing to meditate upon. We'd just meditate upon whatever else goes on through our mind most of the day. Now, what do we meditate upon most of the day? What do you think about most of the day? Right. So Krishna, he tries to intervene. He says, instead of thinking about all of that garbage, which you're so attached to, your little garbage pile, which you go and play with all day, right? Instead of going and playing with all your garbage, how about you think of me? This is his instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Manmana means always think of me. Krishna is a jealous God. It says in the Bible, God is a jealous God. What does that mean? Right? He doesn't like us worshipping other people. Right? It says in the Bible, God does not like his devotees worshipping other people, other demigods, other idols. Right? He wants everyone to worship him. Right? So Krishna is like that. He doesn't want us to think of all this garbage all day. Our anatta pile. Well, let me go and associate with my anattas. I spend at least probably, you know, one third of my day at least just meditating on my anattas and just associating with my anattas. So Krishna said, don't do that. Think of me all the time. I'm jealous. I just want you to think of me, nothing else. Right? 100%. Just think of me. So that's why he performs his pastimes, so that we will learn to think of him. And that's why Prabhupada insisted that we read his books, especially Krishna book. What year did Prabhupada give us Krishna book? What year was Krishna book given?
10th
canto of the Bhagavatam. Yeah. The Krishna book is a summary of the 10th canto. So what year did Krishna give, did Prabhupada give the Krishna book? What year did he come to America?
65.
Right. What year was ISKCON incorporated? 66.
Very good.
What year did Prabhupada go back to India when he became a little ill? 67. When did he return? 68. Right. When did the movement really begin to take off? 68. Like that. And then when did he send the first devotees to London? 68. Right. And then by 69, then Prabhupada came over. London Ishwara was installed in 69. Like that. And then the whole movement really began to live. So in 1970, Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, which is quite amazing. Very early in the movement. What was the first book he gave us? Right. First canto of the Bhagavatam. Right. And then he gave us Bhagavad Gita. Right. And then in 1970, Krishna book and Nectar of Devotion were given. Right. These essential books. And then 72, Prabhupada began the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In 72? No, it was a little bit later, I think. 74. He gave Chaitanya Charitamrita like that. So he gave Krishna book from the very beginning of the movement. And Prabhupada established that all the devotees in the very early days of the movement, before everyone would take rest, Prabhupada would say everyone should read the Krishna book together. Hot milk and Krishna book. That was the program in ISKCON in the 1970s. You ask your guru, what did everyone do in the early days of ISKCON in the 70s? Everyone would have hot milk and read Krishna book together. Prabhupada said, if you read the Krishna book before you take rest, you will dream of Krishna. Right? So Krishna wants us to think of him. Even in dreams, he wants us to think of him. Right? Do you ever dream about Krishna? Do you ever have dreams about Krishna? I don't think I've ever dreamed about Krishna. Sometimes I read the Krishna book before I go to sleep, and other way I don't dream about Krishna. It takes time. For someone like me, it takes time. But Prabhupada said, you will dream of Krishna. You will know you're becoming Krishna conscious when your dreams become spiritual. And instead of these dreams you have these days, you dream about all sorts of things. And our dreams sometimes are very strange. Everything begins to mix together in the dreams and they become very strange like that. But you'll know that you're making advances when you have spiritual dreams. I think once I've dreamt of Prabhupada. I think once Prabhupada came into my dream. Like that. My spiritual master comes. Sometimes when I'm struggling in Krishna consciousness, he comes into my dreams to get me. Like that. So when we're becoming Krishna conscious, we'll dream of Krishna. So why does Krishna come to this world? To give us something to meditate upon. Because the goal of Krishna consciousness is to always think of him. And when you're chanting, Prabhupada says, when your chanting's been cultivated, pastimes will automatically come into your mind. So anyone can kill demons. Anyone can establish the religious principles. Not anyone, but others can do it. And then only Krishna himself can attract us back to him. Only the original Krishna, the Swayam Bhagavan, he can attract us back to him. Because our destination is Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I direct the wanderings of all the living entities. He's in our heart and he directs our wanderings. So why is it that we have come to this sampradaya? Why have we become Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Why have we joined ISKCON? Because most likely we belong in Goloka Vrindavan. We are servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. Whereas if we were meant to go to Vaikuntha, then Krishna would have directed us towards the Sri Sampradaya or one of the other Sampradayas who they worship Lakshmi Narayan and they go to Vaikuntha. But we can take it, most likely, that we are meant to be going to Goloka. So we've been given a great opportunity. So now we have to cultivate that opportunity, chant seriously, and let Krishna's pastimes come into our mind, into our heart. Especially if you stay awake while you're chanting, that's very helpful. Please do that. Very helpful, staying awake. But personally, I find it much, much easier to chant when I'm awake. And Bhagavatam class is also very helpful to be awake. That's just a personal, it's something I've experienced. When I'm awake, I usually get more out of the class. Like that. So please remember these two things. Like that. If you want to take rest, we have facility for that also. There are plenty of ashrams and there are plenty of beds and couches, So you can go and take rest, that's no problem. If you come to Bhagavatam class, stay awake. If you're chanting your japa, stay awake. Like that. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. No childhood pastimes? In the spiritual world, Krishna, because Krishna has three ages, right? Kaumara, Pauganda, and Kaishora. Right? So when Krishna is when he appears until the age of five, that is called Kaumara. So in Kaumara, when he's in the material world and he appears to be growing, Kaumara means the pastimes are principally in Vatsalya Ras. So Mother Yashoda is with Krishna, he's young, and everyone sees him like, you know, up until the age of five, he's a Kaumara. Kumara means young. Then Pauganda means between the age of 5 and 10. Then Krishna performs pastimes mainly in Sakya Ras. You know, between 5 and 10 he's a boy, so he's playing with his friends and so it's in the material world when he appears and he does like that. Between the age of 10 and 15, then he performs pastimes in Kaishora. And actually describes when someone is a very auspicious personality, they will appear to be 1.5 times their age. This is noted by the Acharyas in Vedic culture. So you see that when Krishna lived at Govardhan Hill, he'd been on the earth for 8 years, so he was like an 8-year-old boy. But he's 1.5 times his age in terms of his physical appearance at that time, so it means he looked like about 13. And then when he got to the age of 10, when you're 10, you're not having association with girls. It means it's not like a conjugal feeling. When you're 10 years old, you don't feel like that. When you're 15, you feel like that. But when Krishna was 10, he looked like he was 15. Acharyas describe that auspicious personalities, they appear 1.5 times their age. So he was at the age of between 10 and 15, then he was having his Kaishora age. He was a youth, he was like a 15-year-old boy. Prabhupada says he never goes past the age of 16. Radharani never goes past the age of 15. So they're always in that age. In the spiritual world, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions, they are always in that age. They're always that 15, 16, they're Kaishora. Kishori. They're always in that age. But Mother Yashoda, just like a mother, even you may be 60 and your mother's 80, but she always sees that you're like a little boy. Even one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Puri Maharaj, was it, I think? Yeah, Puri Maharaj, he was describing that. In India, he had heard of one mother, the son was 60, she was 80, but every day she would feed him with a spoon. She wouldn't let him touch the plate. She'd been doing that for 60 years. Right? So even when the child is young, but still even when the child grows up, but the mother always says, oh, you're my little boy, you know, I have to look after you. Are you cold? Did you have enough to eat? Are you okay? Like that. So the mother will always see like that. So actually, Puri Maharaj made a very nice example on that point. He said that, because he was speaking in Vrindavan, I think it was on Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan. He's passed away now, but he was speaking. And he said that all of you Western devotees, you're very interested in higher topics in Krishna consciousness. Right, you're very interested in hearing about Krishna with the gopis. He said, so all of you are very interested in hearing about these very high things. You know, everyone likes to hear about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. And he said, but none of you even understand what is love. You want to go up to the high things, but you don't even understand what is love. That's why you can't understand those high things. Because you from our point of view, that's why the Acharyas warn us, don't go to the conjugal pastimes too quickly. Because if you project onto them your mundane vision, You won't see them as pure. You'll see them as mundane or material. But actually they are pure. And why are they pure? Because the gopis are full of love for Krishna. And then he gave that example. He said there was one mother who at the age of 80 is still feeding her. He said that is love. He said that is love. And what did Prabhupada say? The closest thing in the material world to pure love is the mother's love for the child. So he said, first you Western people, first you understand what is love, and then you understand Radha Krishna. If you try to understand Radha Krishna, you don't even know what is love, what is selfless service. He said, how will you understand Radha Krishna? So you see, when Prabhupada established our movement, what did he do? Prabhupada pushed all the devotees to go out on Sankirtan. Go out and preach. Spread this movement. Why? Because it will make you selfless. And when your heart becomes selfless, when you become a selfless servant of Guru and Krishna, then you'll easily understand Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But as long as you're so contaminated and so selfish, you won't understand them. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Here, Prabhu, you said Krishna comes from Atmaya. So can you explain this?
It means that Krishna is under the internal potency. When Krishna comes to this world, he brings the Dharma with him. Right? So, Gokul Vrindavan, or Vrindavan in India, if you go to India and you drive south of Delhi towards Agra, right, there is an 84 square mile place there, which is called Braj, which is Mathura Mandala. So that place is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. So when Krishna comes to this world, first he brings the dharma and he performs all his pastimes on the spiritual energy. He doesn't perform his pastimes on the material energy.
Atma
Maya means spiritual energy. Atma means Maya. Maya means illusion or energy like that. So Krishna's energy. His pastimes are only performed on the spiritual platform. There's nothing mundane about his pastimes. Any other question?
When beginning to chant, in the beginning years, Prabhupada's instruction is to remember and think of, listen to, hear the names of the mantra. Is it okay also to just to focus the mind as it goes away, to remember the deities, the image of the deities?
You have to follow the instruction of your guru. So you ask this question to your guru, and whatever he tells you, then you do that. My spiritual master wrote to me, I'd only been a devotee for about 2 years, and he said that sometimes you can read the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, of the Goswamis, and you can meditate on those pastimes while you're chanting. And then when I went to chant with him, the last time I saw him was in 2001, I went to chant with him in Oxford, he was living there at the time. And in the morning we were chanting together, and he would have a picture of different places in Vrindavan, the holy dharma, and he would chant and he would meditate on that picture. And then halfway through his chanting, then he would bring a picture of Radha Shama Sundara in Vrindavan and he would meditate on that while he was chanting. So that's what my guru did. So he gave me permission to also do those things. So you have to ask your guru and he will give you permission what you can do like that. But in general, we should, just like in the mornings, I like to come here and I like to chant my japa in front of Radha Vallabha and Gaur Nitai. And then, you know, I look at them, because Abhini Twan Nama Nama No, there's no difference between the name and the person. So then it makes the chanting more sweet when you're meditating on them. And then you can think of Vrindavan, you can think of the holy places like that, and then the pastimes will naturally come in due course of time into the mind like that. So Prabhupada said, just hear, because if you're hearing attentively or chanting attentively, all those things automatically happen. You don't even have to do it mechanically, it just happens. But get the instruction from your spiritual master, he'll tell you what you can do. Right, so any other question? Comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.